Well, hello and welcome to our Palm Sunday service today, even though for some here, it's only Thursday yet, but we're going to be celebrating Palm Sunday together now. And welcome to those of you who are watching online. It's really good to have you here. And we're going to be thinking of that story today of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey with the crowds gathering and shouting Hosanna and laying their palm branches down and laying their coats down before him. And I expect actually in the crowd there were a mixture of people. There were some who would have really followed Jesus closely over previous weeks and months. There were others who barely knew who Jesus was, who were just caught up in the crowd looking and exploring and seeing for themselves what this was all about. And we too come from a variety of places today. Maybe some of us watching online have been following Jesus really closely for years, maybe. Others maybe just looking in and exploring, who is this Jesus? And wherever we are in our journeys, you know, you are really welcome to be here. And we all come to encounter Jesus afresh today. So as we begin, let's say these opening words together. I'm going to say the bits in yellow, and I'd love to invite you to join in the bits in white. Jesus entered into Jerusalem humbly on a donkey, seeking to transform the people. People gathered from everywhere to wave palm branches and praise him as royalty. Jesus enters into our lives humbly, seeking to transform our hearts and lives. Let us worship Jesus Christ together and receive him into our presence. Hosanna in the highest. And for those of you at home, we're going to sing now. For those of you who are here in person, just why don't you speak out the words as we stand and worship God together and sing, all glory, Lord, and honour to you, Redeemer King.
Thank you.
You take a seat. And we come to and just offer our confession to God. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from sin and turn to the Lord, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Let's just pause, shall we, and reflect on this last week and just bring to mind anything that we want to particularly confess to God. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are. That we may do justly. Love mercy and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the collect for today. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Jean's going to come and read our Bible reading to us today.
Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples didn't understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, or afternoon, according to when you're listening. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have promised to us that where two or three or more are gathered together, you are in our presence. We thank you for this promise and claim it as our own this morning and ask your blessing upon your word. Lead us by your Spirit to learn more about you and your feelings and your love for us. In your precious name, amen. I wonder what thoughts you have stirred up in your minds when you read of this story in the life of Jesus. In our churches, we make normally this a great time of praise and rejoicing, especially when we have our young people and children with us and families. But you know, really, when you read this story in all its fullness, there's a great sadness in the heart of Jesus, because he knew how the crowds would soon change their cries. Now, if we hadn't got Luke's gospel and his version of this story, we may not know what I'm just going to tell you. But I think it's very important. For we read in Luke's gospel, chapter 19 and verse 28, that Jesus was coming down from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem. And he looked at the city and he cried. So that's the second time in John's Gospel that we learn that Jesus wept or cried. Tears of sadness. He looked because he knew what was going to happen to the people and to Jerusalem. For it was prophesied, and he knew that the city was going to be destroyed. And many people were going to be slaughtered. And yet many of them also didn't realize who he was. And he could feel the sadness of that event that lay before him, as well as this being the forerunner to his death upon the cross. So it was a very joyous occasion, but it was also a very sad occasion. And I think we find that running through the whole story. See, whatever the people appeared to want, he could have given them peace. That was the promise. He would give them peace, but he knew that soon that city would be razed to the ground. But let's look into the story a little more closely and think of the various groups of people that are involved in this story as Jesus entered into Jerusalem. First of all, from a historical point of view, it's believed that he entered in at the East Gate. You say, well, why is that important? Well, to the Jew, they believed that their true Messiah was going to come and save them, and he would enter into Jerusalem through the East Gate. And I think that by Jesus coming through that same gateway, that same entrance, he was implying to them that in fact the Messiah was already here. He was the Messiah coming to see and to greet his people. But they didn't recognize him to be so. So the first group that we read about in verse 12, possibly pilgrims, as well as those in the locality around Jerusalem, were all coming up to the feast of the Passover. And as you remember, the feast of the Passover was first presented when the children of Israel were released from Egypt. And this was a feast that they kept year by year to remind themselves of how God had released them from slavery and brought them into a new land. And that was what many of the people from the districts all around crowded into Jerusalem to keep this Passover feast. We read that they cried out, "Hosanna." I wonder what that means. Sorry, that sounds a bit like one of the adverts on television. But I wonder, what does Hosanna really mean? It means, "Save us, we pray." It's not quite like hallelujah and praise him. It's a request. It's wanting this person that entered into their city to become their king and to save them from the opposition and the Roman authorities and all that they were suffering by being under them. That's quite interesting. So they wanted to be saved from their oppression. But in the midst of that, they were crying out for joy, believing that he was the one that was coming to save them. They wanted him to be their king and their saviour and save them from servitude. A bit like the days in Egypt when they wanted God to save them from their servitude. So that was the first group of people that we read about, the people who shouted out and praised. And amongst those people, we're told that there were many children and young people, and they were praising. They were full of love and gratitude for what they had heard about this Jesus. Then we read about the disciples, the poor old disciples in verse 16, who didn't understand what was happening at all. In spite of Jesus having explained to them what was going to happen to him and how eventually he would be put to death. And it didn't really register in their minds of the things that Jesus had talked to them about. And they must have felt quite awful after this happening to realize that it hadn't clicked in their minds that Jesus had told them as a privilege what happened in that particular time and why. So they were a little bit out of it. Then there were the chief priests and the Pharisees, who were the leaders of the people. They were afraid of the popularity that they saw Jesus had. One of the reasons that Jesus was particularly popular when he came into Jerusalem was because they'd heard that he'd raised a man from the dead. And they wanted to see what else he might do. This was amazing. And it had spread, what we might say, worldwide in that particular area of the world. They had come to see this man who could not only forgive sins, but he could raise the dead. And that sign of Lazarus being raised from the dead was one of the many signs that we get in John's Gospel, which are given us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that was the purpose of all that took place in that event. Now he wants the people to believe that he is the true King, the true Messiah. But some couldn't understand that, and some didn't want to believe it. And then the fourth group, we have a number of people from different places and different parts of the known world, and we have mentioned here the Greeks, which might seem a little bit strange, but they'd heard about this Jesus, and they wanted to see him, and see if he really was as they were told. We would see Jesus. And who was with them? Peter and Andrew. Either they had brought them or they had met them. We don't know the association, but they were there. And of course, incidentally, Peter and Andrew are Greek names, apparently, which I didn't know. So there's a sort of connection between them in that respect. And they came to see who Jesus was and maybe to believe him to be the Son of God. And this altogether upset the authorities because they saw that Jesus was being very popular in front of the crowds. And they were concerned that the people would turn against them and follow this man Jesus, who won the road into Jerusalem on a donkey. Also, as we know and remind ourselves, Jesus entered the city in a very humble way. He didn't come on a horse like a victor, having won the battle. He didn't even come in on a camel, that animal which was used for transporting and for commerce and for long distance travelling. No, he came on a donkey, a humble creature who was burdened under the many weights that it carried, and yet was steadfast in its step. Jesus rode in upon a donkey. And that must have surprised those people as well, in not quite understanding why he should do that. Some thought he was going to be their king. Why should he come like this? But they saw him and they praised him. And they threw down palm branches for him to walk in a royal way through the city. So there are lots of strange reactions from different people when they saw Jesus. I wonder what your reaction would be if you had been there. I wonder if you would have praised him because you have believed him to be the Son of God, the true Messiah. Or whether you would have ridiculed, not believing that to be possible. Whether you were there because you wanted to see miracles and have proof that Jesus is the Son of God. And so then, conversing with some of the disciples and the Greeks, Jesus had stopped and began to talk to them. And some of the verses that are not included in our reading, the next few verses, begin to tell us of this sort of conversation. And I think it's interesting just to look at that as well, because he told them about the fact that he was like the seed who's going to fall into the ground and die. And that dead seed would spring up into life, and there would be new life. And that was just a picture of the fact that he would die, that he would be buried, but that he would be raised from the dead in newness of life by the power of God, and that he was truly God's King. They could have had all sorts of thoughts about him, but he wanted them to know the truth and to confirm who he was and what he had come to do. And in verse 27, he utters words to them which are very similar to the words that he cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, that sorrow that was in his heart as he approached Jerusalem was burning in his heart when he listened to the people, when he realized perhaps their ignorance and their hatred. And he just sought out those that wanted to hear him and to believe in him. And so there was a reminder there of his feelings that we read of when he entered the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 25 and 26 are perhaps quite strange words. We read that the man who loves his life will lose it. For the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And someone put that into a quote, and they said, "He who seeks to gather around himself that which is perishable, so far perishes with it. He who divests himself of all that is of this world only, and seeks the will of God, prepares himself for entering the presence of God." To do with our values and our attitude. Where are our values relating to Jesus? How much do we love him, we who know him? How much do we feel for him? How much do we recognize what pain he went through? And that's something that we need to consider much more than perhaps we do. We think of the joyous feelings that we have through knowing Christ. But how much do we think about that side which was painful to him, that suffering? And so we read that there's a cost to following Jesus. This cost could mean losing one's life physically. Stephen knew about that later, as you read in the Acts. He was stoned to death. Peter knew that he was going to be hung upon a cross upside down for the sake of his belief in following Jesus to be his Saviour. Fortunately, we don't know how we're going to pass from this world or when. But it's good to know that our faith is and trust is in a person like Jesus, who could say, "I am the resurrection and the life." And that's what he had brought. He brought peace to that place. He wanted them to receive that peace, the peace of God, which we may have already and know and experience, but you may not have. You may not know what peace really is like. Peace through what we pass, not peace by being taken away from it, but in any suffering, whatever God brings upon us in our experience, he can give us that peace to enjoy. That in all things, Jesus might have the first place. Do we live a life of willingness to sacrifice for Christ? I think that's a hard one. The sacrifice. We have our own ideas of how to sacrifice and what to do to sacrifice for Christ. But they're nothing compared to what he did for us in dying upon the cross. And many have followed in those footsteps. Many have been martyred. Many have been killed as a response of standing up for their faith in Jesus Christ. For it means that all else in our lives is subject to Jesus and his will, even though there might not be any harm in the things that we enjoy doing and do carry on from day to day. The true meaning of sacrifice is Jesus first and ourselves last. I'll just quickly tell you about this, which is something that I was reminded of, which I found in my parents' box of goodies. And it was about a very sad occasion, and I know when I hold it up no one will be able to see it, but it's the occasion that happened in the 50s when there are some American missionaries who belong to the Mission Aviation Fellowship, and some of them were pilots, and they had prayed about the fact of travelling into the jungle in Ecuador and to finding more about the tribes that live there. One particular tribe was called the Aucas. And so they prepared themselves for it. They all met together and had great times of prayer. And we prayed that they would be blessed and helped by God. And they flew into that unknown territory. And they disappeared. And eventually, others had to go out and look for them. And they found their bodies in the jungle. They had given their lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. They had tried to make friends with these Auka Indians, but the Aukas couldn't understand where they'd come from and put them to death. But that's not the end of the story. As a result of that, in time, many of those Aukas, as they began to understand each other's language, became Christians. They believed in God, and they were taught about Jesus Christ, and there became a great following amongst those people. And God had his purposes in that great sacrifice that was made. So sometimes we are called to go through sacrifice, but the question is, how much do we love our Lord and Saviour? I finish with a verse in the hymn which I'm sure you'll recognise, but it sums up what we've been looking at this morning. Sometimes they strew his way and his sweet praises sing, resounding all the day, hosannas to their King. Then, crucified, is on their breath, and for his death they thirst and cry. That's how the world changes. That's how mankind can change. But if God has blessed us and saved us, we can tell others, as did Peter and Andrew, about this man called Jesus, who is none other than the Son of God. May God help us to consider more of this wonderful story and how great our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ really is in all that he has done. May God bless his word. Amen.
Thank you so much, Darren. So much there to ponder and reflect on. And we're going to just hear the words of the song, The Servant King. And I encourage you just to sit and reflect on these words. Darren particularly spoke about how much do we acknowledge and really dwell on the suffering that Jesus made for us. I can remember when I was 16, and actually received communion for the first time, sitting in a chapel in a school down south on a cipher camp. And just as I sat there, I grasped for the first time just the suffering on the cross that Jesus had made for me. And that was one of the moments which transformed my life, to just go from a churchgoer to someone who is committed to really serving Jesus. So as we hear this song, as we prepare to, in a moment, to take communion, let's just dwell again and be thankful for what Jesus went through for us.
And give your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. That speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrender. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. So let us learn how to serve, and in our each other's needs to prefer. For it is Christ we're serving. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to
Father, loving God, at this time of crisis, when so many are suffering, we pray for our nation and our world. Give our leaders wisdom, our health service strength, and our people hope. Lead us through these difficult days to the joy and comfort that we find in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray for the royal family, that you may guide and protect them, and to know your healing and nearness to them. We pray for members of our church family who are unwell, We pray for healing, physically and spiritually. We pray for church and for Dave, Peter, Eddie and their families, that they will feel encouraged in their ministry and care for the church. We pray also for the children and young people and teachers now they're back at school, that they will catch up with their work and enjoy meeting with their friends. As on Palm Sunday, we keep the special memory of our Redeemer's entry into the city of Jerusalem. So grant, O Lord, that now and ever that Jesus may triumph in our hearts. We ask all of this in your name. Amen.
Before we take communion, just a little bit of notices about what's coming up this week. And we have got lots of different things happening this week, being Holy Week. We have reflections from our readers and other clergy on each day this week, which are going to be on our YouTube channel and on our website and Facebook page that you can access, just something each day to reflect on. We've got a service on Zoom on Maundy Thursday, where we're going to gather together and reflect on the events of Maundy Thursday. We've got Good Friday, where you can access the last hour at the cross on online. But also, hot off the press, is we're going to open church up at 2 o'clock on Good Friday as well, so that you can watch that service online here together in church if you'd like to, and then Easter Sunday. And also what we've got in Malvern is that we have got, after the success of the Malvern Nativity Trail, we've got the Malvern Church's Easter Journey. And around 10 different churches in Malvern over next week, there's going to be a display of the Easter story, bits of the Easter story. We're going to have the Last Supper here at St Andrew's. And it's not a trail that you can do all in one go because it's quite far and lots of different ones to do that. But do go and have a look at those. Details are on the website. And just enjoy watching those displays, looking at those displays to tell the Easter story from the other churches. So we're going to share in the peace now. And we just remember Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, said to his disciples, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you." And just if you're here, where you are, share with each other from a distance a sign of the peace. If you're at home, share with anyone you're at home with, or send a text, or send a message to somebody. But may you know the peace of God with you. So we come to remember that great sacrifice that Jesus made for each one of us, and receive afresh his body and his blood together. So we say the Lord is here, his spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. Right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared your life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. To God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your spirits to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And so now we lay down the palm branches. And with them we lay down our belief that there is another way for you to be God's. As the last echo of the final Alleluia fades, so does our hope that this journey can end in any other way. The week stretches ahead, glorious and painful. Whether we walk with all faith or none, we look towards the cross, knowing it is both the most human and most divine of journeys. Travel the road with courage, with love, and with the uneasy peace that this is the gift of faith into this holiest of weeks. Amen. And so may God give to you and to all those you love his comfort and his peace, his light and his joy in this world and the next. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. in the name of Christ.